Bibles, please take them out and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. If you do not have a Bible, there should be one in the seat in front of you somewhere. Now, I'd like to mention we have Saul and Laura here this morning. We're glad to have them. And Laura actually has some special goodies for everybody. And they'll, after she, you baked them yourself? Wow. Okay, so she baked them herself. They'll be out in the foyer after. And she's got an Israel trip coming up. She'd also like to share with you about out in the foyer as well. So make sure you stop by on the way out and pick up a nice fresh baked goodie, right? All right. And also, of course, this is Memorial Day weekend, and we would just like to take a moment to pray and to remember what this weekend's about, Memorial Day, and the sacrifices that were made so that we can have the freedoms that we enjoy, and to pray for our country and to pray for those in war now. Shay's cousin passed away about a year ago in Afghanistan. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's good to be mindful of those who, as we sit here, are fighting for our freedoms, Lord, to keep our freedoms and to maintain our freedoms, and to remember those who fought for our freedoms in the past, who have given their lives for our country, Lord. It's such an honor and a privilege, Lord, that we can have the blessings and the opportunities that we have. And Lord, we want to pray for those families who have lost loved ones, and we want to pray that you'd comfort and encourage them this weekend. And we want to pray that we would also have a sensitive and compassionate heart for those who are serving our country, Lord. So may you give them a special blessing this weekend. May you just touch their heart in a special way and give them that love that only you can give to a person, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. We're working our way through this section of Scripture, and I'm mindful of a story I heard about a farmer who had a cow, and that cow gave birth to two little calves. The farmer was very, very excited about these calves, the two calves, and the farmer was so excited, he went and he told his family, and he shared with his family, and he was a religious man, so they prayed about what the best thing to do with the two calves were, and they all decided as a family it'd be great to dedicate one of the baby calves to the Lord. And they prayed about it and discussed it, and they said, well, when it comes time to sell the calf, which one do you want to give to the Lord? And the farmer said, well, we'll just cross that bridge when we come to it. A couple days later, the farmer comes into the house dejected, upset. Family asked him, well, what's wrong? He said, well, the Lord's calf died. Get it?
No.
Well, two calves, right? The one that died, he decided that would be the Lord's calf, okay? All right, if you didn't get it, we can discuss that later. Charity. The point is, for you who are a little slower this morning, the point is we can be like that when we give as well. We can be selective, choosy. We can give God the dead things or the things that come after our things. And in our section of Scripture here, this is the issue that's being addressed by the Apostle Paul. It's this heart of giving that is the heart of somebody who has Jesus Christ working inside of their lives. It's the heart of a giver. Now, what's interesting about giving is joy. Our joy is tied into giving. God has sort of just made this idea of giving one that comes with joy. It's really the secret of joy. We learn in the book of Acts that it's more blessed to give than receive. This was an attitude that was being taught by the Apostle Paul in this letter that he's writing to the Corinthian church. He was teaching them about this principle, about the importance of giving. Now, as we look at this section of Scripture, this section of Scripture really identifies our philosophy as a church in giving. Now, if you're new here for the first time, don't worry. We're not going to do a big giving campaign and a pledge campaign. This just happens to be where we are in the Scripture, so we have to address it. But I think in this section of Scripture, we also get some very important truths about giving, philosophy-wise for our church, and then personally to see what all is involved in this idea of giving. Now, in our section of Scripture, specifically, it's dealing with giving monetarily. But we can also look at this Scripture and realize the principle of giving has to do also just as we give our lives to the Lord, as we give of our time and our energy, even our talents and our abilities. In fact, 1/3 of the parables have to do with stewardship over the things that God gives us. Interesting. So what we have to understand that these things are all a gift from God. Monetarily, our families, where we live, our intelligence level, our athletic ability, our ability to do things. These are all things given to us by the Lord, and we are to be stewards of those things. That means that we sort of have these things on loan and we're taking care of them. So the question is for us this morning is, how are we taking care of God's stuff? How are we taking care of the things that He has given us? Then we have to ask ourselves, well, why has God given us what He's given us? Why has He put me in the place that I am in life? Why has He given me the family that I have, or the job that I have, or the money that I have? Why has He given me those things? Well, Paul addresses this to the Corinthian church. Just to give you a little background of what we're talking about here this morning, the Corinthian church had a lot of problems. Paul wrote a letter to them saying, you better straighten out, buckaroos, or you're going to have a lot of problems. Basically, they were straying from the truth. They had this idea, an idea that their salvation in God was the end. Do you get that? They had this idea that they were saved and that was it. Now they just go on living their life in any old sort of way they wanted to. But the reality was, and the writing of Paul was, that their salvation, it was just the beginning. That was the beginning of a walk, of a life. That was a beginning of them living out the benefits and the blessings of what God has done inside of their heart. It was the living out. That's what the Bible refers to as a walk in Christ. It's a lifestyle. It's now what we do with our salvation. So as he's writing this letter, he wasn't sure how they were going to respond to it. Well, good news. They responded favorably to it. And because they responded to the truth, there was a revival going on with the Corinthians, with Paul, with the messenger that Paul sent to them, Titus. There was all these things going on spiritually, a revival happening. But now there was one little important missing ingredient as they returned to the truth. See, before they got separated in their relationships with one another, and they got worldly and selfish. Before all that, they had taken up this little project which all the churches in the area would take up, and that was they were helping out the church in Jerusalem. That was the very first Christian church, and they were very poor. So these other churches around the area, they would take up an offering to help the church in Jerusalem, to help support them. Well, the Corinthians, when they got selfish and indulgent, they stopped doing that. As they had this revival, they forgot that one little thing. And so Paul is now stressing the importance of how giving is so important to complete the work of grace in our own lives. And specifically, he's trying to point out to the Corinthians that their giving is actually more for their own benefit personally. They are being taught that what they get out of their giving is necessary and important in their full development as believers. Now, giving, as we learn here, there's a certain way to give. It was to be led by the Spirit. It was to be with the right heart, the right attitude. And it was to be done in such a way where we would see all that we have as simply something God has given us to take care of and to use properly. Now, with that background, take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, just to give you a little more background to our story here. 2 Corinthians 8, 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." That was a group of churches. Philippi and Thessalonica were part of those group of churches that were very poor in material things, but they were very rich in spiritual things. Now, these churches were being put forth as an example to the Corinthian church. Verse 2, it says that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. So all that is to say that they had an extremely open heart to give. They didn't hold on to things. They weren't collecting things for themselves. They weren't indulgent in selfish things to the extent where they were neglecting others. Now, these people in the churches at Macedonia were extremely poor. It wasn't a money thing. It was more of an attitude thing. They saw everything they had as from the Lord. So they had this open heart that they can have freely give what was necessary. And they didn't have any restrictions in that. They were anxious to give, anxious to be a part. And they saw that their giving then, as open as they would be, would actually personally affect them with the joy of the Lord. So now that brings us up to what I'd like to look at this morning. If you look at verse 16. Verse 16, then we get a little bit more of the story, which explains sort of the heart, what's in the heart in regards to giving. And giving really is, it's an issue of the heart. That's what it really is. It's not so much the outward thing we do, especially if we do it begrudgingly or half-heartedly, but it's really an issue of the heart. And you notice with the Macedonian churches that the grace of God had been flowing into them so deeply and intensely that their giving was merely an outward manifestation of an inward reality. That's all it was. See, our attitude about giving, and remember, I'm talking not just about monetary thing, I'm talking about monetary, I'm talking about the giving of help, the giving of our time and our energy. It's a quality, a characteristic that comes from somebody who internally the grace of God is flowing in them. And because they are so appreciative of the grace of God and the benefits and the blessings spiritually and internally, when God's grace works right, it manifests itself in an attitude of giving, a desire to give, a desire to pour out and to bless others. It's sort of like some of you may at home have some bananas sitting on the counter. Does anybody have any bananas sitting on the counter at home? I see a show of hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Too many to count. So we know what that's like, right? Now, these bananas. Does anybody have any apples? You guys are fruity. Fruity people. Fruit's good for you. Now, what are those special items of fruit for? Are they to decorate your counter? Maybe the plastic kind, right? But those don't taste very good. They're to be used, aren't they? They're to be shared, to be eaten, to be shared with our bodies for nourishment. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes those items of fruit on my counter have a tendency to stay there a little longer than they should. And when that happens, it kind of, if we're talking about the bananas, they get a little brown and mushy. And then if you leave them a little longer, where you can't even use them for banana bread or anything, then they have these little flies that come on and eat them. And then pretty soon you really have a mess. See, here's the deal. What we have been given to us by God is in the same way. It's like that banana that sits on the counter. It's meant to be shared and used. You know what happens when those bananas, when they're just perfectly yellow and they're eaten at just the right time, and next thing I know, the counter's empty? You know what I do? I go to the store and I get some more. But see, if they're never used, they just get corroded and rotten. And this is what it's like when we shut our heart up. We close our heart up to the outward blessing of being able to give, to bless, to encourage, to build up, to be the stewards that share the things that God has given to us. If we don't do that, we become kind of stinky and gross. We become narcissistic, inwardly focused. We become people who our lives then take this shape of being all about ourselves. And that doesn't look too good. That's ugly. So as we begin to understand, look at verse 16. This is the heart behind giving. Notice he says, "But thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus." So Titus, he was the messenger that took the letter down, the letter that Paul sent to them that was meant to bring them back to the truth. Now Titus being the messenger, it says here that he had his heart was also very earnest, because now he's being part of this collection, or the messenger who's going to collect the offering. So as he's the guy who's going to go down and collect the offering, he is anxious to come to the Corinthians. He's anxious to get to them and to receive the blessings that they're going to give to the church in Jerusalem. The Corinthian church was pretty wealthy. They had a lot of material things. And so we see here now, Titus wants to be a part of that. I want to be a part of this work of grace. I want to be part of the giving of the blessing to the church at Jerusalem. We can kind of understand that. If you ever, you know, at Christmas, you want to be there when you give somebody the present. You know, you want to see them open the present and see the look on their face, especially if it's something you really spent time getting. You know, not the type of thing where you're on the way to their house and you stop by Tom Thumb and look at the gift card rack and, oh, that's good. Okay, it's not that kind of giving. The kind where you really thought about it. You know their personality. You understand what they like. And you got the perfect gift. And you're just excited to bless them. This is this is the understanding of the grace of God. When we have this attitude of giving, we enjoy sharing. And as we enjoy sharing, we receive those benefits, the blessings of joy that come with that. Titus was like that. Now look in verse 17. It says, "For not only accepted the exhortation," that was Titus, not only did he just accept, hey, Paul saying, hey, Titus, go down and collect the offering. Not, he didn't just accept that exhortation and say, okay, I'll go do it. But it says, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. So this was now exemplifying the work of grace in Titus's heart, where he had the right understanding of giving, where he, in his own, on his own volition, with anticipation and excitement, he wanted to go collect this offering. Now in verse 18, it says, and we have sent him with the brother, who we don't really know who that is. So another guy's going down with him, the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. So another guy's going down with Titus to collect this offering. So if you guys can just sort of back up for a second and feel the gravity of the moment here. This is the working of grace that has come through the word of truth to the Corinthian church, to where now the inward reality of how God is working in their life is taking on tangible, practical effects. It's this inward reality now becoming an outward manifestation. It's the overflowing grace. It's the correct understanding of the goods and the material. And it's the using of those things, which not only is going to bless the church in Jerusalem, but it's going to complete the working of grace in the hearts of the people who are actually giving. So what can we learn from this little section here? The first thing we can learn is that giving led by the Spirit with the right attitude and the right heart, it shows, it's a demonstration, an outward showing that we really care. That's a tangible way that we know we care. And the Bible talks about it. It's easy to say that we care and then just pass by somebody in need and say, be warm and be fed, see you later, I hope everything works out good. But it shows that we really care when we take the time to give to the person in need. Now again, in our text here specifically, it's talking monetarily. But we can also draw out the principle of the working of grace in the heart of a believer is an attitude of giving in all areas of life, that we become giving people, and that's because that's the heart of God, isn't it? For God so loved the world, what did He do? He gave. That's the heart of God. God so loved the world that He gave. And then we follow the ministry of Christ, who is a ministry of giving, of reaching out, of ministering, of encouraging, building up to the ultimate sacrifice where He gave His life so other people could be saved. So giving is how we show our care. Another thing we find here is giving shows our desires. Giving shows what we really desire in life. It's a very practical way to show that we are really living for God when we give led by the Spirit with the right attitude and the right heart. It shows that really our life is for God. We've come to a point where we've decided that the things that we have are a blessing from God, and we're going to pray how, where, and when God wants us to use those things. But it is that tangible evidence of the working of grace in our heart. The last thing we find in this section is that giving shows our praise. Notice that other brother that they took down there with them, that we don't know who that is. But this was a guy who was included in the taking up of the offering. And the only thing we really know about him was his praise was in the gospel throughout all the churches. So giving shows praise, what we value and what we put in high esteem. How we give will be an outward manifestation of what we value, of what we place in high esteem. Now, as we start to understand the heart of giving, and that's really what it is, it's a heart issue. It's an issue of a person receiving the grace of God and so touched by that inwardly that we become anxious, cheerful, willing, excited givers. And as we give, then we are also filled with that in which we give. The book of Luke says, Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bank account. Does it say that? It doesn't say that. It says when we give, it will be given to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into our bosom, into our heart. See, it's more a matter of a heart thing. It's not so much, I'm going to give 10 bucks and I expect 20 bucks back. God, you better bless me if I put this in there. It's not like that at all. It's more of this giving is sort of this cleansing, this healthy way that we can show that we're trusting in God. And as we do, He fills our heart to overflowing with more of an attitude of grace and mercy and compassion and joy with other people. And joy in our own life. That's really what the issue is. It's the heart issue. Now, notice as he moves on from this discussion, he then moves into the mind of giving, the attitude, the mindset of giving. Notice in verse 19. In verse 19 he says, and not only that, so there's more, not only that, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift. This is the guy going with Titus. He was actually chosen to go with him. Chosen because he had an attitude of praise to God, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord Himself and to show. Notice that. That this giving, again, it's an outward manifestation of an inward reality to show a ready mind. He says in verse 20, avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift which is administered by us. So they're taking some practical steps to make sure that the offering is done correctly, to make sure the accounting is done right, the accountability is there. So there's some very practical aspects about that. So they're handling the giving of the gift with a protective mindset and also a precautionary mindset. That's why this other guy's going with them. And then in verse 21, he says, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So that's the practical part. But notice here then that there's not only just that heart of giving, but there was a mindset. The mindset here is that a giving mind is a joyful mind. The mindset of understanding that as we give, God will continually fill us. That like that banana, things don't corrode and get ugly. But as we give, God replaces with newness and freshness. It's kind of like the difference of a flowing river versus a dead sea, the stagnation of unmoving water versus a river that keeps moving and flowing. See, as we give and have a mindset of giving, it's like we become these channels of the grace of God, the life of God, and the Spirit of God flows from us. But if the Spirit of God is such that we don't administer, we don't share, but we keep it all closed in ourselves, we become dead. The life doesn't keep flowing through us. So it's sort of like we can know as we give, then God will keep filling. He'll keep replacing. We don't have to worry about, well, if I give, then I'll be empty and I'll be destitute and lost and I won't have anything else. But see, we have the promise of God here that it's His stuff and He wants us to use it. And He wants us to be charitable and have an attitude where we're trusting in Him, knowing that as we give, God will replace. But He just doesn't replace, but He fills to overflowing. And that's a neat thing to understand as we understand the heart of giving here. So this joyful mind, it kind of defeats this narcissistic attitude. You know what that means? Narcissism. It's this unhealthy preoccupation with self. It's view of life where we have delusions of grandeur about ourself, about our importance, about our role in this world. It's just an extremely elevated view of ourself to the extent where we can't see anything else. But all we can see is ourself, me, myself, and I. This is epidemic in our country. We feed these attitudes through the media and entertainment. We feed this self perspective. You can even hire paparazzi to follow you around and take pictures to make yourself feel important. You can. You really can. There was a story of a 16-year-old who had to have the street closed off to celebrate with a parade her 16th birthday. But these are these attitudes of entitlement, of I'm better than you, of my life is greater than your life, of my importance is much more important than yourself. And it's just nauseating. You be around people like that. It's just ugly and sickening. But this is what's being fed into our society. But see, giving is the answer to narcissism. I'm not talking about you make $1 billion and you give $1 million. I'm talking about this attitude of charity where you give led by the Spirit with the heart of thanksgiving and gratitude, looking to see others lifted up and benefited, looking to see others valued and encouraged, especially in spiritual things. So we have to ask ourselves, are we using the gift of our own life as an offering to God? Has our life been offered to God, where our life now is in God's hands so that He is using that to be a testimony of His grace and His mercy and His gift of Himself to us personally? Is He doing that to the world? See, it has to start with us saying, Lord, I give You my life. That was the secret to the churches in Macedonia. They first gave themselves to the Lord. Because what I'm talking about, this is a spiritual thing. And we see giving in this world, philanthropic activities and people who give things. But this is a spiritual thing we're talking here. This is the attitude of sacrificially giving and using our life for the Lord. That's what's being spoken of here. Now, notice a few points here in this second section about this mindset. We find that giving, when it beats narcissism and it conquers some of the biggest problems that we have in life, and it's just a preoccupation with self. We notice here that giving, it shows a readiness for God. Notice what it says about in verse 19 at the end about this guy that went with Titus. It says, this gift which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord Himself and to show your ready mind. Our giving shows that our mind is dialed in with the mind of God. It shows that we have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, we talked about it last week. The mind of Christ, which was willing to go low so others could go high. That's how Jesus thought. But see, our readiness to give shows that our life is sort of relinquished to God, that He really is in control of our life, that we're proving it, and the readiness of our mind. And I believe what we can take out of that is, you know, that inward struggle you go through or I go through when an opportunity to give comes up, and then, you know, we're debating in our mind about it. Should I? Shouldn't I? No, I don't want to. Oh man, this is going to hurt. This is going to be awful. Okay. Whew. That sort of struggle, that shows that internal fight that we have in the flesh. Because the flesh is always looking to protect itself, looking to gain advantage for self. But we're told by Jesus Christ Himself, if we want to follow Christ, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. But see, our attitude to giving shows our readiness that we have with the Lord. It's a demonstration that we're ready to do God's will. And that can only happen when we get to the place where we say that our life is God's, that we've actually put our life in His hands. And when that happens, our mind is ready to do whatever is necessary at any given moment. The Bible says to be ready in season and out of season. This, whenever that we have this readiness, this mind that's prepared to do God's will. And when God leads, we react to that leading. We also find here that giving, this seems obvious, but giving displays or shows unselfishness. You notice how in verse 20, he says, avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift which is administered by us. And giving now, as we give, it shows that our heart is given to the Lord. It proves that we're not living for ourselves anymore. Giving proves that we're unselfish. And the way we handle our giving, our attitudes, our mind, and our heart, it shows that. Now, the last thing you notice here is giving shows honor, we find in verse 21. Now, this is interesting because how we give shows what we honor, doesn't it? And again, I'm talking about not just monetarily, but our lives, our time, our energy, our talents. How we give of those things demonstrates what we honor, what we give value to. Isn't it true that the Bible says that where your heart is, so your treasure will be also? See, our heart and our mind towards giving, it demonstrates that. It actually says, I think I misquoted that, it says where your treasure is where your heart is. So what we value, what importance we place on things, that's extremely important. And that's really something worthy to think about this morning, I think. What do we value? And where do we place honor? Where do we give credibility? What do we hang our hats on? What to us is that place in life where we really esteem or treasure? What do we value? Because what we value will be where our heart is. It's a very, very important thing to understand and get a grasp on here. So the mind of giving. Now notice we'll finish this last section here. And notice here it says in verse 22, "And we have not sent with them our brother whom we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent because of the great confidence which we have in you." Now we finally begin to understand in the last point that giving gives strength. Doesn't sound like it would, but giving actually makes us stronger. He goes on in verse 23, he says, "If anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner, my fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches to the glory of Christ." So Paul is sort of giving Titus and the guys going with him the assurance or the credibility and the credentials that they're legit, that they're not false, that they're not trying to take advantage of people. People in Paul's day were very sensitive to that because there would be these traveling ministers that would go around and a lot of them would be false and take advantage of the churches. So Paul is saying these are my, in fact, messengers, that their lives are not about themselves, but they're about God. And notice that's how they were able to have this reputation. It's because they had given their life to God. There was nothing deceitful or selfishly ambitious inside of them. That they were clean inside and were able to handle the money because all they wanted to do was God's work. They weren't in it for themselves. And then finally in verse 24, it says, "Therefore show to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of your boasting on your behalf." Of our boasting on your behalf. So giving, this giving, he's saying it actually strengthens our faith. It strengthens our relationship in God, and it strengthens our relationship with one another. And God has built this all into our walk with Him. And giving is the essence of Christ. Therefore, as Christ is working in our life, we too become like this. We find here that giving shows our diligence, that we're serious about our relationship with God, that it's not just lip service. Giving gives glory to Christ, and giving proves, notice that, it actually proves our love for God. So what does this all mean? We can see the emphasis on giving. We can see that it does something for us spiritually, and it is extremely important for us to know and understand as we continue to live our life forward in Christ. Now, it's interesting to me oftentimes to find the mockery that can often go on towards people who give their life sacrificially. The misunderstanding of somebody who would give their life to be a missionary, to go into foreign lands to suffer, to give up a lifestyle or certain things here in this life. But the Bible says that the things of the cross are foolishness to those who don't believe. The things we're talking about here this morning, they seem foolish to a person that doesn't believe in God, that doesn't have a relationship with Christ. But see, when we have a relationship with Christ, we have these desires to give. And we begin to do things and give things and live in a certain way that seems unusual, peculiar to the people of the world. Why would anybody give up a great career? a great house, a great car to serve as a missionary like my brother Dave in Thailand or Rose in Thailand. Why would they give up all this? It's because they have the heart of Jesus. It's because the things of the Lord are more important than the things of earth. It's looking into those little children's eyes and seeing them understand Jesus, that becomes more valuable than driving a Ferrari down the street. No offense if you have a Ferrari here. But see, things change when we come to know God. I remember a story about a girl at a large youth conference. They passed around an offering bucket, and the kids were putting things in. And when the deacons were counting the offering, they got to the very bottom, and there's just a picture of a girl in there. And they thought it was a practical joke. And they turned it over, and the back of the picture said, "I have nothing to give but myself." I think that sums up what Paul is summing up and sums up the attitude of a person who realizes there's only one life soon to pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are such a giver to us, Lord, and we are all recipients of Your grace and Your mercy. And Lord, I want to pray for us as a congregation. I want to pray that we would be a church that gives, that would give sacrificially, Lord. We desire to see You work in amazing ways through our giving. And Lord, I pray for us as individuals that we would see our talents, our intellect, our opportunities, our money, our jobs, the places we live, that we would see those as a gift from You, Lord, a gift of grace. And Heavenly Father, I ask that You would help us to be good stewards over that grace, good stewards over those blessings, that we would take care of Your stuff as You would take care of it, Lord. Lord, we are eternally grateful for the many blessings You've given us in our country, Lord. We are eternally grateful for our health and the hospitals and the doctors and the schools and the education and the athletics and the opportunities, the books, the education, the libraries, the schools. Lord, help us not to shut our hearts to those who don't have those things. Help us to be open-hearted, allowing Your grace to flow freely from our hearts, Lord. And I do pray this morning, if anybody here has never received the gift of grace found in Jesus Christ as He gave His life for you, if that's you here this morning and you are not a Christian and you've never given your life to Christ, I encourage you right here, right now, right in your seat, to open your heart to the gift of eternal life that is in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, so we would never have to pay the penalty of our sins. It's great news if you receive the great work of Jesus. I would encourage you not to leave until your sins are forgiven and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, simply by receiving Him by faith. And you can do that right in your seat, right where you are, right now. And you can be born again, going to heaven forever, and your sins forgiven. Father, thank You for this morning. I think it's fitting now as we go our way to sing a song of praise and worship and adoration to You. Because, Lord, You are great. You are a great God, and we love You with all of our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord. God bless you guys.